Sometimes I like to wait till I hit the D before I come in on it.
That's a catchy little tune.
You know, I'm actually going to sit down. Well, soon I'll have my own place to play here, and I can actually record a new track for that.
There you go.
One without all the mistakes in it, but you know what the heck. Oh, it sounds good. Fishing Frank here in the chair, and the brain tarpon across from me over there. Otherwise known as Robert. And let's see. I think we are about ready to start. Robert and I were talking right before we started recording about how the news networks, nobody wants to buy ads on Fort Myers TV or the Sarasota or Bradenton. They don't want to buy ads on the stuff because all the news reports have been so negative and so nasty, a lot of people didn't show up. Even though the water's fine, there's no red tide, and we have not had any in Charlotte Harbor this year, the fishing's been actually better than average. Things have been really good. But when you listen to the nightly news, it's been horrible and horrific. And now they're out there trying to go, oh, look, it's nice, you know, come down and spend some money so people will buy ads with us.
Right. Here's a glass of water. You can see into it. It's perfect now. Yeah, right.
Oh, geez. You know, nobody would mind, but the news is so agenda-driven. They want to make things horrible. You saw it on the internet. Now come look at it on TV. It's way worse than that. You know, yeah. Tonight at 10, we've got the catastrophic news, you know, and whether it's environmental or political or health or whatever it is. And every once in a while they do one of these fluffy pieces going, look at the doggy, how cute it is. Oh, isn't that a funny cat, you know? And the rest of the time, give me a break. Yeah. It's about time somebody goes back to just reporting news without all the sensationalist crap. If there was one station, any of them, that didn't lie and do agenda, I would actually watch the news again. But now you look on the internet, you see a story you might be interested, you watch the news to see what they say about it, and then you realize the truth has nothing to do with either of those, and you might as well just, why pay attention in the first place?
Right.
So, anyway, but hopefully all these TV stations, hopefully their ratings go so far down because nobody's watching and nobody's buying ads. I know of another fishing magazine that's on its last legs. It's about out. So, you know, it's happening, all kinds of stuff. And I guess we ought to get to the fishing report. I don't know.
Enough of our babbling.
I'm torn on all this. You know, I got to tell you, boys and girls, everybody's so excited about the big expansion we've done. We're twice the size we've been before. Well, we've actually had one of those units before. And we gave that up. We've had as many as 4 units here, and we've had as few as 1. You know, it depends on how the financial stuff goes. You know, when you're not making money, the world collapses, you small down get, you shrink to, you know, stay alive. And then as money gets bigger, this is the first time we didn't expand because we were doing well.
Yeah.
This is,
talk about a roll of the dice.
Yeah, this is the first time with all the negative news and everything. And in 34 years, we never lost money because of red tide, because we've been insulated and protected, and everybody's known that. But people see so much negative stuff out there, they forgot that it was okay to go here. And then they're acting like everything's poison and all this, and it's just goofy. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
Charlotte Harbor's wonderful, and I'm going to throw this in, and we're going to get right to the fishing report. Because part of the year, the harbor goes fresh.
Yeah.
And fresh water pretty much kills any saltwater bacteria. Stuff that
bacteria
lives in...
and algae.
Algaes, bacteria.
Any saltwater...
Anything that lives in saltwater really cannot live in freshwater very often. A few things, but very few. And then, after it goes fresh in the summer, we go to all salt in the winter. And so anything that lives in freshwater usually cannot live in saltwater.
Right.
So Charlotte Harbor has this amazing clean-out system where twice a year, as the bacteria levels get up, it kills them out.
Yeah.
And it knocks it back, and we start again at zero and wait for it to build up, and then all of a sudden it goes around and knocks it out again, and we start back at zero. That's what people don't get. If you test the water in Charlotte Harbor during a couple times of the year, it could be pretty bad. You know, we get a lot of hot, fresh water, and the bacteria counts go way up. And I don't advise people getting in the water when it's over 85 degrees, because that's very close to body temperature.
Right.
And so it's very easy transition in hot salt water to for a bacteria to go from the hot salt water into the bloodstream, because our blood has basically the same amount of salt as the ocean water does. It's very, very similar. Salt water, you know, ocean water and our bloodstream are very, very similar creatures. And so
hence a saline bag.
Yeah, hence the saline bag. So, you know, but when we get all the fresh water in Charlotte Harbor, it kind of wipes out all that bacteria that would be in there. And it's just a kind of an amazing situation. That's one of the reasons we love it here, is it has features that are found in very, very few places around the world.
It's a medical cleansing twice a year, literally.
Yeah, it's awesome. And but nobody talks about that. But anyway, and it's kind of boring. We've been rambling on about it. But just one of those cool things. Peace River. The water is going way down, by the way. I'm going to go on fishandfranks.com real quick here. Hit the weather and tide button. And I'm actually doing this in real time, boys and girls. Click the Peace River button. And that is going to tell us, oh goodness, we usually need over 800 cubic feet per second or more will keep us safe from red tide. And we're down to 3.5 feet of water level in Arcadia. That's pushing right at the limit. If a red tide bloom would appear, it is now possible for it to come in past Cape Hayes.
Wow.
It could get almost all the way up to the reef. If we have, we don't have any, everything's fine.
Yeah.
But we're looking, we like to see 4 feet or higher and at least 800 cubic feet per second. That's our shield of invincibility. That's our protection, our Star Trek stuff. But anyway, so the river's moving nice and slow. Pretty decent fishing up there. If you want to get your snook dinner, you're going to have to take your boat or drive up into DeSoto County or any of the counties north of there. You can go way up on the Peace River. There's snook way up to Wachula and all these other cool little towns up there. You can drive up 17, find a lot of cool places, stop in Arcadia, the 760 Bridge.
Bowling Green.
761 Bridge, Bowling Green. There's tons of places you can go up along the river. We'll try and get some of those spots marked out for you where you can go. But you can do snook fishing up there, and snook fishing is legal there. And, you know, as long as they're within the slot, you can, you know, keep your snook as long as you're in DeSoto County north up to Peace River.
But you have to put your boat in DeSoto County or further up. It cannot leave Charlotte County at all.
Yeah, FWC's got their head right up their butt, and they've made it so if you are in a boat leaving from Charlotte County, go up into DeSoto and come back in Charlotte, they will ticket you. They will give you bad problems. It's ridiculous. It's stupid, but that's FWC in today's world. I have no idea why they have their head so far up their butt right now. Political decisions on fish closures, nothing to do with the environment or the welfare of the fish, just politics as par normal for the 2010s. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
I'm disgusted. Anyway, and I usually love FWC. Love, you know, the officers that we deal with on a daily basis have nothing to do with it. This is kind of like the FBI and the DOJ, where they're so corrupt in the upper level that the rank and file are sitting there going, really? You know, the guys who do actually the work?
Yeah.
But it's the people running it. No good. They're just not good. All right. You should always make decisions based upon the best of everything, not your best political move, you know.
Right.
Okay. Anyway, Peace River, I've heard of some snook up by 760. Not a lot right now, but the bass fishing up there's not bad either.
Yeah, I've been hearing mixed reports of the bass up there above the, yeah, I guess that's 760. What is that? It goes right by Lettuce Lake. That's
761.
I've heard of a few bass reports from there up. And then the been some oddball snook, a couple of small redfish, and some small tarpon along the river going towards the trestle in the Shell Creek Dam. Oh. Hasn't been gangbusters yet, but they're starting to see more life up there. A few customers are saying they're starting to see some of their snook lights better. They're
Michael seeing really had a big effect on bringing the snook up into the harbor. It's really shocking how many snook were in these areas, and then the hurricane went through and they moved into the canals, they moved into the creeks, they really just inundated this upper harbor.
Right. Well, we had an okay storm surge with it. I mean, it was nothing catastrophic by any stretch, but it was enough to raise that tide probably an extra 2 to 2.5 feet higher than any normal high tide for summer. And to push it up and keep it there for 3 or 4 days the way it did, it opened up new basic spots in canals and other shorelines along the lower Peace River that don't get affected as hardcore by water flow, I guess would be the right word for it. You know, some sheet flow.
I'm going to give you that, but I'm going to go with the biggest difference I saw was a drop in the water temperature.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and we had at least a 5 degree plus drop in water temperature, and to me that's what's going to trigger those snook. Okay, it is time to let's get to these areas before it actually gets cold.
Yeah, absolutely.
So to me, I think the big one was the drop in water temperature moved the fish. But I-75, what's going on?
There've been a couple of black drum there. I've heard of a couple of small trout and a handful of small snook. I have not heard of any of the juvenile tarpon that are usually there. Been a little strange up there with the tarpon this year.
Yeah, it's been a weird year, but there's so many glass minnows in the harbor, and we're ordering some rigs. We're going to get into some other stuff to see what's possible to use on the tarpon. Umbrella rigs, stuff where you have multiple baits that act like a school of bait fish with another one on the end of it with a hook, to see if these will actually work, that we can cast or troll with some of this stuff. Because right about midday, it gets tough to get on the tarpon because they're so keyed in on these little tiny baits that
Right. They
don't want a ladyfish. But you've got from daylight till around noon, 1 o'clock, and then your ladyfish is just not going to work. Before that, it works excellent. Boom, 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 hook up, hook up, hook up, fish in the air, and then all of a sudden, afternoon, and you're like, what? And they're blowing up all around the boat, making you crazy.
Yeah.
41 Bridge.
41 Bridge has had some juvenile tarpon around it. Some small snook. Mangrove snapper started moving back in there. A little bit better numbers of them, actually. Not numbers, but size-wise. Hearing some 12 and 13 inches pretty consistently. And then the black drum. So it's getting there. And like you said, all the glass minnows that are around and all the little small fish fry that are all around are starting to, or keeping those fish there for longer periods of time to give it more consistency.
Anything going on at Lashley?
Yeah. Same thing, bigger mangrove snapper and some black drum and a handful of little tiny trout, but still bending the rod. But one customer, he said, you know, the stereotypical thing, my wife outfished me today. She got a 14-inch and a 15-inch mangrove, along with several in the 10 and 11-inch, and she caught about a 25-pound black drum, looking at the picture, guessing, and his biggest black drum he caught, and he said it was the biggest one he's ever landed. It was maybe 20 inches. I had to do a double take to make sure it wasn't a sheep's head. You know, I was like, kind of got excited for him for half a second, and then I'm like, oh, no, that is a black drum.
Yeah.
Wow, look at that. Oh, no, that's a black drum. Sorry. They said there was a guy out there real nice, leaned over the railing with his landing net and scooped it up for him because their net wasn't long enough. So he was excited for his wife.
That's awesome. You know, it's surprising what a social event the piers are. Pier fishing is about the fishing, but it's also when you go down there, you know, if you like the people around that pier, you're probably going to enjoy fishing there. But if you don't, what, don't go back that day, because a lot of people, they fish there on Tuesday, you know, or they fish there Friday. Yeah. And if you go back the next day, you might have a whole different group of people.
Absolutely.
And if you end up with the same jerk there more than one day, just find another pier.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, who needs to put up with jerks? We've got a made in the shade here, because 99.89% of our customers are just awesome, you know.
Right.
We're in the middle of this massive remodel, and we had to take all the rods from where they were and get them over into the other part of the store. So we've literally got bundles of rods up against the walls, leaning there. We've got lumber and, you know, pegboard piled up and sawhorses. And they just kind of go around it. Okay, look through the piles against the wall. And okay, I want this one. It's just amazing. I mean, just awesome. And thank you guys for helping keep us in business. But it's cleaned up now. You can actually walk around everywhere. The walls are a little empty. We're still in the middle of getting everything up and getting everything figured out. But it's pretty cool. Bayshore Pier.
Bayshore Pier, I've only heard of a couple small snook being caught off there in the late evenings. That's it. It's been pretty quiet over there.
Okay. That's going to take us over to the Port Charlotte Canals.
Black drum. Lots of snook of assorted sizes, mostly on the smaller size. The sand bream have still been doing well in some of the way back canals, like back there off the Countryman Waterway and the Pelham Waterway, along with tilapia and Mayan cichlids. There has been a few redfish around in some of the canals, and a ton of little mangrove snapper. Plenty of those to be caught. You know, all the ones the girlfriend's catching behind the house are all 10, 11 inches long. But still, enough to bend the rod and have a good time.
Alright, Elgin Pier.
Elgin Pier has been a little quiet this week. There's been a few black drum, a couple of mangrove snapper, and a handful of tiny trout. Guys are seeing juvenile tarpon rolling around the bridge, but they're at random times, morning, evening, and at night. Nothing really super special. But it'd be worth taking a look if you're coming out of that area and stopping there and trying to fish it for a little bit, check things out. A couple guys fishing up the river from there have been doing all right. But the actual pier itself, it seems like when snook season closes, we don't get as many consistent good reports because our regulars aren't out there.
Yeah, I mean, why would you go?
Yeah.
You know, even if you only have, maybe I'm going to keep a snook, it's still when snook's closed, you know, you can't keep them, and a lot of people just don't want to mess with it, you know what I mean? And when snook season's open, and then if you get that one and say, okay, yeah, I'm gonna go fillet them, have dinner, you can. Or if you foul hook something, you know, you can actually take it home to eat it,
right?
But with this, you know, this stupid closure, yeah
it's frustrating.
Yeah, we need to get rid of some of these senators and congressmen who've been in there 30, 40 years. Look at it this way. If you recognize or you've heard, if they're running for office and you recognize the name, you've heard it a lot, vote for somebody else. This is a time when you use name recognition to go, oh, I know that name. I'm going to vote for the other guy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Get these guys out of here. They've been here for decades, and they're useless. I mean, all they do is suck money up and, you know, campaign for themselves. They do nothing for us. So if they've been in office for 30 years in the Congress or the Senate or whatever, vote them out, period. I don't care what party they are with or who they are, Democrat, Republican, Independent, vote them out. Because they haven't done anything for us yet. Get some new blood in there. All right, Mayaca River, what's going on in there? Tarpon in the actual river section.
Yeah, there's been some good-sized tarpon mixed in there semi-consistently enough to where it's worth taking a real close look around and see what you see. Over towards the cutoff, there's been some redfish showing up on both the riverside and in the cutoff. been quite a few snook showing up in there too. And then over on the west side of it, by kind of around Cattle Dock Point, the guys have been catching a couple of redfish and a couple of snook out front there along those mangrove shoreline too. So it's starting to liven up just a little tiny bit down there.
Cool. And it's going to take us into Gulf Cove.
Tilapia Mayan cichlid's the only thing I've been hearing about still. Several guys going in there and fishing them, both out of their boats and from the couple of boat ramps back in there, having a good time. Mm-hmm. Buying minnows and shiners, but most of them are buying minnows and worms.
West Wall.
West Wall's got a lot of redfish scattered along it, along with a whole bunch of little peanut snook. And then out on top of the bar, there has been an occasional pompano. And on the southern part, mixed in, has been an occasional good-sized bonnethead shark. And then if you go just on the outside of the bar, start looking for tarpon. You know, they've been there periodically. And there's been some juveniles inside the bar, you know, between the bar and the mangroves, but they're very hit or miss. You just got to be vigilant and keep an eye out and hope for a fun bycatch.
Well, I can tell you, if you go down the south end of the West Wall, closer to Cape Hayes, but not quite all the way down there, you get a possibility of some cobia.
Okay. There you go.
All right. Cape Hayes. I'm going to start off with possible cobia because they're going to come around there to go up to West Wall.
Right. Exactly.
Possible cobia. Bonnet. Snook on the shoreline.
Yeah, the snook have been right there along the shoreline, and they're doing that fall migration thing, so you might pull up to that spot and catch half a dozen of them, and then an hour later they're all gone. 2 hours later there's another little group back again. You're going to see this pattern for the next probably month or better, depending on how our cold season starts off. So that can be really fun.
Oh, I was so excited. They got just slammed by a cold front up north.
Did they?
Yep.
Nice.
So they got a, you know, it's been 30 degrees and rainy and 40 degrees and rainy. So
oh, they can have that.
Yeah, so actually, you know, I'm not wishing any ill will on you guys, but we could use the business.
Right.
You know, come to Port Charlotte, Charlotte Harbor. We have hotels. We have units for rent. And I will tell you, make them wheel and deal. If you're planning on coming down for a few days or a week or a month, if it's a house, a condo, a hotel room, say, you can do better than that. You could, you know, let's say they want $100 a night, you know. Would you take 70?
Right.
Because, I mean, it's slow here. So, wheel and deal with them. You know, don't accept first offer, you know. You know, play the whole game. This is the year. A lot of years, you know, it's you got to accept what you get. You might even have to offer more to be able to get it from instead of somebody else. This year, offer less. Put in that offer. Get it down a little bit. You know, you can save some money this year coming down. It's real slow. The hotels are empty. The home rentals, the, you know, weekly and monthly home rentals, the condos, it's way down. It's empty. Wheel and deal. Call them up. You know, if they want $1,000 a week, offer them $500. See what they take.
Right.
You know, you can save some money and have a great vacation. The fishing's good. The area is beautiful. You know, everything's awesome.
Absolutely.
And we're getting a cold front Monday.
We are here.
Yeah, it's going to be in the 60s at night.
Nice.
Yeah. 60s in the nighttime, 80s during the daytime.
Nice.
This is going to be awesome. So I'm waiting for this week. I've had about enough of the 92s and 93s. All right, Bull Bay, Turtle Bay.
Bull Bay and Turtle Bay are loaded up pretty good with a lot of small trout with a few bigger trout. Bonnet heads of all sizes all throughout, especially in Turtle Bay. And then the snook and redfish are doing pretty darn good too along the bushes and along some of the deeper troughs. And then right out in front, also, same thing with the snook out front. That, you know, it's that same kind of migratory pattern that you used to see right there on that Cape Hayes point there, where the snook are moving through constantly, so new little groups of them are constantly coming through out in front there. There has been also a few pompano on occasion coming through out front, too, so keep an eye out for them. It's not bad at all. You know, one thing I've noticed this year And it kind of happened a little bit last year, but the mullet are starting to go into their pre-spawn situation like almost a full month early. Because usually it's that full moon in November when they start to really gather up in their groups and start to move around. But this year they started doing it middle of September. I started hearing reports of it from down in Turtle, up in PGI, Burnt Store Meadows. Guys seeing huge groups of mullet starting to gather up. And that's like literally 4 weeks earlier than normal.
Wow.
Kind of strange.
Yeah. Really weird.
Yeah. So, fish those mullet, especially down there in that Turtle Bay area, you know, cast to those schools of mullet, because there's always a few redfish fouling them and even some snook on occasion, so you can be pleasantly surprised.
Okay. Cape Hayes, Danger Reef, any of that area out there?
Got nothing, to be honest with you, off of either one of those.
Okay.
Immediate vicinity.
Gasparilla Sound.
Gasparilla Sound, basically from Devilfish over to Placido on both sides, the Boca Grande side and the Widden Creek side, almost mirror image of each other. Trout, snook, some redfish, been a few incidental Spanish mackerel, a few pompano, and then some bonnethead sharks. So it's starting to get a little bit more active down there. There's been some not cast netable, I would personally say, but white bait and thread fins in addition to it down there.
All right, is it time for me to start buying cast nets?
I don't know. It's questionable.
Yeah, but it's going to take us 2 weeks to get them, and then do you think over the next month there's going to be enough bait fish where people can actually buy cast nets and expect to use it?
I don't know. Let's see what it goes over the weekend, what I hear.
Okay. Because I've been holding off spending the money on cast nets because it's, you know, each order is thousands of dollars.
Right,
so.
Exactly. Nah, I'd wait at least through this weekend and see what we hear from some of the guys that are going out, because it's supposed to be supposed to be nicer today, but tomorrow's supposed to be real nice.
Okay. Placida Pier.
Placida's starting to get a little bit better. There's been some nice mangrove snapper off of it. They've been catching a handful of snook, a couple Spanish mackerel. One guy caught about a 4.5-foot bull shark and a bonnethead shark off of there the other day. Small trout. What else was it that he caught? Oh, he caught a baby hogfish. Like, little baby. Like, 6-8 inches, I'm guessing, by the picture in his hand. It was pretty cool. And then a couple guys have seen some sheep's head swimming around out there, but I know we're still too early to get excited about it yet. But it's definitely worth time to get prepared for it, especially now that we got those fish bites. You know, I was going to talk about that yesterday. You know, the fish bites is probably one of the only artificials that I know of that will catch sheep's head consistently.
Isn't it amazing? Now, I like the bloodworm flavor for the sheep head.
The bloodworm and the crab.
What's on your hand?
A little ant was crawling on
it. Oh, yeah. God, ants. These ants are terrible this year.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, I've been trying to, you know, deal with them at the house, and I'm about ready to set off the nuclear bomb of bug disposals out there.
Right. Yeah, I got to get Home Depot and get some stuff.
You know, it's just funny. We did that whole tenting of the house and killed everything in sight, and a month later, and I mean, I've been spraying the stuff around. I guess maybe the spray was no good. Maybe it was too old.
Yeah, I think they're just pretty much impossible to get rid of.
All right, Lemon Bay.
Lemon Bay is starting to liven up. There's been a school of redfish up there on the mainland side, and I'm guessing it's right there close to the Placida ramp where it's normally at. But three different guys have mentioned them, but won't give up exactly where they're at. And then I'm hearing mixed reports of redfish under the docks and some snook under the docks, all on the intercoastal there. And then a couple of baby gag grouper in addition to that with some mangrove snapper. I haven't heard of any trout up in there worth mentioning, but, you know, they should be around. The bigger ones, if you obviously want them, just drift a pinfish across the flats, and that'll avoid some of those smaller guys.
Okay. And that's going to take us to Englewood. What's going on in Englewood?
Tom Adams and the...
Oh, yeah, the pier there, the Anger Pier.
Anger Pier.
Sorry.
Okay, that's all right. I kind of thought that was where we were at, but wasn't sure. The Anger Pier is doing a little bit better. They've caught in a couple Spanish mackerel, some bonnet heads. Been seeing some small tarpon rolling around between the pier and the bridge itself. A couple of small snook at night. And then, of course, a lot of little mangrove snapper. So it's been fishable and catching a lot of little stuff. You know, life is coming back there pretty well.
Okay. That's going to take us out into the Gulf of Mexico.
It's been pretty windy because of the east winds, but the guys that have been venturing out about 15 miles have been doing the best on the snapper and porgies and grunts. Been a few barracuda out there still. I have not had any good grouper reports unless you want to run out 35 miles, and this weekend would probably be the time to do it because it's supposed to be pretty nice, but it's just been so bumpy. I haven't had much reports on that. A lot of bait being sold yesterday and today already for anticipation of going out this weekend for grouper fishing, but nothing that I have worthwhile to mentioning any further than that.
Well, there's some sailfish, there's some mahi, but they're out like 45 plus.
Gotcha. Such a funny little noise.
Yeah, well, it's when I hit the wrong button here.
So sailfish out there, huh? I've heard of bonita out there because that was earlier. Donnie called me to give me his fishing report, and he saw a lot of bonita out there in that 80 to 95 feet of water. Did not see any tuna mixed in with it jumping at all. He said there probably was some underneath it, but he wasn't going to mess with it.
Yeah, I was working with a guy. He's going down to the Keys, and he wanted to do a bunch of trolling, and it's hard to find anything because I've moved all of the offshore stuff out of where it's been into that new section of the store, and I'm looking for, you know, the spring heads, and I'm looking for the hoo clips and all this, and I'm trying to go around and where's everything, you know. And
it's an Easter egg hunt right now.
It really is. You know, people say, oh wow, you know, it's going to take me a little while to get used to this new store, and I'm like, yeah, me too.
That's all I got yesterday. I'm like, just be patient, I know it's over here somewhere. Same way with the rods. I had a hard time finding the rods. I'm like, darn it, give me a second.
Oh, the rods are a cluster right now. We got all the stars on that one. There's 200 and some of the star rods there.
Right.
So you're literally trying to figure out which one out of which one, and they're not in order right now. Yeah. We got them off the floor, so, you know, just the piles of rods laying all over the floor and leaning up against the wall, we finally got them all back in the rack, but we didn't get them in order.
Oh, no.
So
it just doesn't look like a porcupine got hit by a hand grenade anymore.
All right, Venice?
Venice, a lot of Spanish mackerel being caught up there, both off the pier and off the jetties. Had quite a few guys this week talking about that. And then they've been getting some mangrove snapper off the jetties along with a couple of snook. A couple of big bull reds there at night coming through. But that's about it. But the Spanish mackerel have definitely been the talk up there lately. So that's a pretty good thing. The water's getting clearer. And they've had some pretty good tide flow coming out of the jetties up there. So the guys said it's really been kind of nice to see it cranking and clearing out.
All right, Stump Pass.
Stump Pass, they've been getting a couple of Spanish mackerel, a couple of small jacks, and then a few snook. But most of the snook have been pretty small. The guy walked the park the other day, and he actually saw two flounder on the entire walk down the beach, which he got kind of excited about because he hasn't seen a flounder ever swimming around in the shallows before. He's new to the area, so he was pretty stoked about seeing that. And I asked him if they were rays, and he's like, oh no, these are right there, and I just walked right up and watched them swim along real slow. And I'm like, that's cool, because I've only seen it a couple times myself.
But Gasparilla Pass.
Gasparilla Pass, Spanish mackerel has been about all I've heard about coming in through the pass and just out in front.
Let's see, Boca.
Boca's had Spanish mackerel, lots of jacks, a couple of bluefish, and a handful of tarpon. And I haven't heard of anybody bottom fishing in there, so I don't know anything good, bad, or indifferent with that. Most of it's been fishermen on their way out or in.
Okay, Captiva.
Captiva, I've only heard of a couple Spanish mackerel and jacks down there. There was some tarpon on the front side of it, but not in the actual pass.
Okay, redfish.
Nothing.
And that's going to take us down to walking the beach. Where would you go if you wanted to just walk along the sand and cast out in the water?
The only place I've had good positive feedback has been down at Boca at the end, closer to the pass, basically from the broken down pier to the pass, and then up there at Venice by the jetties. You know, the Spanish mackerel, been some jacks. That guy saw those flounder, which was up there towards Stump Pass, but I don't know if that'd be worth checking into. You know, basically it's starting to come to life out there, so I think if you pick any of the beaches and just go out there and plan on having a good time and enjoy the water as it's clearing up, but you still got some warmer water before it gets too chilly.
Right. Punarassa, Sanibel?
I've got nothing from down there this week, unfortunately.
Yeah, we got no reports from the Fort Myers store either.
They're slacking.
Anything on the Coosahatchee?
Nothing.
Yeah, and I know there's fish down there. They just didn't send us a report. I'm going to call and chew them out. Cape Coral?
Cape Coral, a couple guys went down there bass fishing, but they ended up catching tilapia instead and gave up on it.
Right. Matt Lachey.
Matt Lachey's doing better. Getting some better reports of some bigger mangrove snapper and some snook off the bridge itself, and then in the immediate area all around it, lots and lots of redfish. Some juvenile tarpon and quite a few small snook and even a few bigger trout. The bigger trout have been much incidental bycatch because a guy was actually throwing big top waters looking for the redfish and caught those. So that was kind of his excitement of the day. And there has been some guys seeing some way oversized redfish down in there and catching a few mostly on crabs and pinfish. It's been pretty good. A lot of guys buying top waters this past week. That's what we ended up writing about this week in the water line. It was top waters because so many guys have been talking about it, both fresh and salt.
Yeah, it's kind of making a resurgence. You know, everything goes in kind of cycles.
Yeah.
You know, it was all paddle tail. And now all of a sudden, people are branching out into all kinds of different stuff. And we've got all the new fish bites lures. So if you're thinking about a gulp shrimp, I would get a pack of fish bites as well. Because they got shrimp, they got paddle tails, they got all that. You've got another choice of a lure that you can throw out and reel in or just let sit like dead bait.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, I'm not going to say fish bites is better than gulp or gulp is better than fish bites, but look at it this way. You go out and you really like eating vanilla ice cream, and then all of a sudden, okay, maybe you want a chocolate ice cream cone.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different flavor, different smell, different thing. Could be better, could be the same, could be a little worse, but it gives you one more bullet, one more thing that you can actually use, and you don't have to keep reeling it. You
right.
can use it as dead bait, or you can use it as a lure.
Yeah, that's the great thing about it.
I think the name Fight Club sucks. It should be Bite Club.
Should have been.
It's Fish Bites, not Fish Fights.
Right.
So why do we have Fish Bites, Fish Fight Club? You know, it doesn't make any sense. It should be Bite, not Fight.
Yeah.
You know. Oh well. But I guess, you know, everybody's got their thing. They pay marketing people to come up with really stupid ideas. What do you think in Fish Bites?
Yeah.
All right. Pine Island Sound.
Pine Island Sound, there's been some trout down there. A lot of redfish and some small to moderate sized snook. And then the Spanish mackerel have been scattered a little bit on the flats down there, but not a lot. You know, but getting a few mixed reports of them. And then there was some pompano just on the north end of Pine Island, kind of closer between Yusepa and Cabbage Key area. That was, let's see, today's Friday. I guess that was Monday or Tuesday when that person was in talking about them.
Cool. All right, that's going to take us to Jug Creek Shoals, Boquilla.
Honestly, I've got nothing there.
Okay. I think Carl left for Louisiana, didn't he?
This afternoon.
Yeah. Burnt Store, 2 pounds.
A lot of redfish. Redfish and snook up and down that entire shoreline all the way out to the bar. There's been a couple of loose schools scattered throughout there, but they get beat up pretty heavy, so your best bet for those is probably going to be after 3 o'clock in the afternoon when it settles down and quiets down out there a little bit. Even though there's not a lot of boat traffic, it's still enough just to displace those fish. So in the afternoon when it gets real quiet would be your best bet to try to find those bigger schools with bigger size redfish. And then there's been a few pompano scattered in between them. I don't think they're in schools. If they are, they're being real shy because it's just been one here, one there with people. But the water's getting significantly clearer.
My typing isn't getting any better. Okay. East side of the harbor.
It's starting to do really good. A lot of people have been concentrating their efforts over there because of the east winds. Redfish and snook on the shoreline, all around all the little islands, some of the deeper drop-offs, even out on the open flats themselves are catching the reds and the snook. Quite a few small trout. And then as you get to the outside of the bar, there has been a few tarpon here and there, so kind of keep your eyes peeled for them. And some schools of ladyfish. And schools of ladyfish have been pretty good-sized schools. I mean, having a good time with them. Especially if you want to teach somebody how to fish or throw an artificial. Ladyfish are probably one of the best things to do out there for teaching somebody. Or getting them seriously interested in fishing in general. It's usually pretty non-stop action. And those little, what is it, the hot skirts? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
The hot skirts from VMC have been working really exceptionally well.
I actually have a pack sitting on my desk here. That's why I knew the name of it. These VMC hot skirt jigs for trout and ladyfish and just about everything else, Spanish mackerel, are just going crazy.
Yeah.
We started out, we had two sizes and like four colors, and I literally tell you honestly, I bought every size, shape, color they had. I bought the entire line of hot skirts, all the way down to the crappie size.
Nice.
Because it is turning into a real phenomenon. And I mean, they're less than $4 a pack. You know, you're paying, you know, a dollar something to $2 a piece for the jig. So they're relatively inexpensive and they really are working.
Not a bad thing at all.
And high survivability with the fish. When we were catching ladyfish for bait, and you need them alive when you take them off the thing, and they were, I would say almost everyone we hooked on the hot skirt, we were able to put in live well. On the other stuff, we had probably 50-50 live and die on, you know. So this hot skirt's really coming on. It's going to be a biggie, and I wish they were more expensive. I'd like to make a little more money out of, but yeah, for cheap lure, it works.
Exactly.
All right, Alligator Creek, Poacher's Cut, Skating Rink?
The Skating Rink's got redfish on it. And then up inside Alligator Creek, there's been some jacks and a few nice snook moving in and out of there. And then the mangrove snapper bite's starting to pick up just a little bit.
You said jacks and what else in the creek?
Snook. And then some mangrove snapper also. It's not going ballistic yet, but definitely seeing an increase in fishing activity in there. That's a good thing. Guys coming out of Burnt Store Isles there, trolling and catching a few snook in those jacks.
Cool. Punt Story on Park.
Some black drum, a couple of snook, a lot of small mangrove snapper. It's been a little quiet in there this week for some reason. Not sure why. But it's still doing well. The mullet guys, I guess, were trying to set up out front, and I was like, okay, that seemed a little strange, but whatever, they knew something I didn't.
Well, this is, like you said, the mullet, you just said earlier in the show,
right.
The mullet are starting to bunch up, they're sitting there waiting for them to move out, and this is, the cold front's on its way. I mean, it's going to be here any hour, any day.
Right.
And as soon as that cold front hits, that first batch of mullet are going to haul butt.
Is that what they do on that first cold front? They'll run on like
they
that?
Start running as soon as we get the cold. The chill goes across the water. They're going to boogie. And it's the same thing. When the hurricane went by Michael, it dropped that water temperature a few degrees, and that initiates the snook to start moving. That makes the mullet want to start bunching. When they... the water was like at 90, and it went down into the low 80s, so it could have been almost 10 degree drop in temperature. That's what kits everything going on.
That makes sense.
Okay, maybe now we got to start getting this together, because right. It is October, and we do get the cold spells, and mullet run is usually November to December, but, you know, with the way the weather's been, who knows, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense, without a doubt.
So, okay, PGI canals.
Snook. Some really good-sized snook. Do you see that snook that Barry caught the other day?
No.
He got a 43-incher, but it had some serious shoulders on it. I'd put it in a 30-pound range.
Wow.
It was a big fish.
The old humpbacks.
Yeah, it was a very impressive fish.
I wonder if the humpbacks aren't the males. Because not all snook turn female as they get older.
Right.
And the common snook, you see these big snook, 40, 43, 44 inches, and they're kind of uniformed shape. They don't really have the big head and shoulders of them. Right. And we've always thought maybe it was some kind of genetic difference in them. What's a simple matter that maybe those are males?
Call Dave and ask him. I'm sure they documented it because they checked into all that.
We've asked them about the humpbacks, and they said there's no difference.
Well, there was no difference genetically. Be a different species, but we'd never really asked them if it was a male or a female.
Because I never thought of it till now.
Neither did I. But and maybe it wasn't significant enough for him to think about or mention.
It was. I didn't think of it all these years until this exact moment when I said it.
Well, make that phone call and figure it out.
All right. I'll call Dave and find out and see if he can do a study to see if those humpbacks, because the common snook is, it doesn't have the big shoulders and the head that some of the snook, when you get them in 40 inch, over 40 inches, some of them, they're more streamlined. And then there's a few that just have this massive big head and shoulders. I mean, dramatically different.
Right.
And so just trying to explain to people that why we were calling some humpbacks, because it literally is just a big, massive...
If you look at those, a lot of pictures of Central American snook, they look very similar because they have that to them.
Yeah, they have that bigger back and shoulders, you know, right behind the head. It just literally almost... is got an arc to it. It's so pronounced. All right.
I was going to see if I could find that picture real quick.
Well, that's all right. I don't think our listeners can see it.
No.
All right. Gilcrest Pier.
Gilcrest Pier, quiet. Just crickets. And people playing pickleball.
Well, I can tell you, we were there the other day. There was so much bait in front of there. The jacks were blowing up. The fish were just everywhere. There was jacks. There was ladyfish.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It was amazing. Standing there in the seawall, we were down closer.
The seawall's tall, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's kind of a drag, but kind of cool at the same time.
You know, you have the park, and you have that building all the way down on the west side there, further away from 41. And the bait, there was just school after school of, I saw two things of glass minnows and probably 10 pods of glass minnows and two of thread fins is what I meant to say. Two things of thread fins and probably 10 glass minnows. And the jacks looked to be 6 to 10 pounders just constantly blowing up through there. I mean, everybody was over there pointing and looking.
That's pretty awesome.
You just hear this, boosh, boosh. You know, is that tarpon? Is that tarpon? And you look over, you see the flash of yellow. You're like, nope, that's a jack. But they were big. Okay. I won't write it in because it was a week ago when I saw that. So,
yeah. It's got some big shoulders on it.
Nice humpback.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah. All right, Alligator Creek Reef.
Alligator Creek Reef has had a few tarpon on it and a couple of small sharks. And then the mangrove snapper are starting to pick up a little bit out there, but it's still been kind of quiet. You know, guys are looking for the tarpon mostly. So not a lot of people fishing on it.
And talking to a guy last night who was there like yesterday, the day before. I guess it was the day before because I was talking to him last night, which is yesterday. So it would have been the day before. They saw like 4 cobia there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they just saw them. They didn't get them to hook up. They weren't real big, but
hey,
they were there.
It's a good visual anyway.
Yep. Deep holes in the harbor.
Tarpon. Tarpon, pretty much tarpon and a occasional bull shark. We got that 4.5-foot bull shark the other day out there while trying to catch a tarpon. That was kind of nice. I actually got him up to the boat with the mono leader.
Cool.
Got to pop the hook out and everything. It was pretty cool.
Awesome. How's the boat?
Good. I like it. It's awesome. Cleaned it up the other day. It's amazing how quick that greenish mildew grows on it.
Unbelievable.
I mean, I just did it like 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, and I'm like, it's getting pretty green on the deck. I'm like, I just did this, and I did the whole boat again, and it's like, holy mackerel, you don't realize how it is in there all the way around. And it's like, I just did this a couple of weeks ago, and it looked like I hadn't done it in months.
Yeah, we're going to have to get you a pressure washer.
Yeah.
Because even an electric one, if you're after it, you know, at least, if you do it at least once a month, you can do it with electric pressure washer. But if you let it go from, like I do, no, you need gas. You need 3,000 PSI to get it off. Because, I mean, so, all right, bait reports. I don't know if there's anything I would really send people
not
after.
Really, no. It's too small, not worth it.
Yeah, I don't want to kill all that little tiny bait. Freshwater. What do we got?
Tilapia are still been really, really good. A lot of guys are still buying the worms for them.
All right, give me a place.
9 Mile Canal, Rotunda. Guys are going out to the web now. It's starting to dry up a little bit, so they're still fishing out there. Basically, any of the Port Charlotte and Northport canals, kind of. I mean, they're all over the map. And then it's kind of the same thing with the bass fishermen. They're moving all over the place. Spillways are starting to slow down a little bit, but there's still some water movement coming out of them, and they're using shiners for them. Most of the bass have been in that 2 to 4 pound range, but they're doing so good, and some of those guys are switching back over to bobbers now. You know, they were sinking them down for a little while there, but a lot of the guys that are buying shiners are picking up bobbers this past week. So they're getting back to their normal bass fishing pattern, which is good. Haven't sold a whole lot of artificials. They've been kind of hopscotching, so I don't know which one would be working best for the bass.
And anything you'd say about tarpon? Early day is pretty much a ladyfish bite.
Yeah, early or late in the afternoon, guys have been getting them on ladyfish, but after 10 and noon, somewhere in that range, that glass minnow feed will just frustrate you. And then just drifting, the ladyfish have been working really well for a lot of guys. You know, they're seeing tarpon in an area and then just drifting along through that area with ladyfish and having the best results. A couple guys out on the beach have been hooking a couple on bait busters, yeah, but inside, definitely the ladyfish is the key thing, without a doubt.
Okay, that did the report.
Not a bad thing.
Yeah, and we're only 53 minutes in.
Hey.
Wow.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, we actually got it. And just so you know, we'll be back every week again now. Between the remodel, just being so tired and not being able to talk to anybody, we didn't miss 1 week. And then we missed 1 week because my son came down. I had to do the memorial for my nephew, memorial service for my nephew, and then just the remodel just...
It's been a consuming last couple of weeks.
So, anyway, we're kind of back for the most part.
Almost normal.
But we will be doing this each week again now, so you can, Fridays, Saturdays. What day is today?
Friday.
We're going to try and get them at least done every Friday. Hopefully we don't have to wait till Saturday morning to get them done. But we'll see how everything goes. There's what we expect to do and what life happens to us.
Yeah, two different ball games.
Yep.
Thursday and Friday are always our goal. Saturday's we got to scramble and get this. We got busy.
Yeah, it's
not usually a forget. It's usually just get too busy and then sidetracked.
Yeah, I would say getting time to sit down and do it is the toughest part.
Right.
But we do try.
Definitely try. And if it's not up, call us. We'll still give you a fresh live report if you want.
Yeah, you can always just call and ask what's going on. 941-625-3888. Let's see. And so the area fishing report is back, and it will be, then I think the next time we're going to miss one will be the end of November, because I'm going to be going up to Atlantic City. And heading up to Atlantic City to a casino, one of the tackle people is paying my way up to Atlantic City and putting me up in a casino for a few days in hopes that I'll spend a whole ton of money.
Look for some earmuffs.
Yes, I always buy earmuffs when I get cold.
Yes.
I always have earmuffs and gloves.
I know you do.
Yes.
And I know you usually have one or two around, but be prepared.
Well, I have sensitive ears. I have sensitive armpits, too. That's why I wear cut-off sleeves.
You're just sensitive.
Yeah, I'm a sensitive guy. But if I wear sleeves, my arms break out and get all the kind of rashes and stuff. So I don't wear sleeves, and I'm fine.
Gotcha.
Yeah. It's not a fashion statement. It's a wussy statement. You know, I'm a puss. I can't wear my sleeves and my shirt in this heat, or I break out. So.
Gotcha.
It's not a tough guy look. It's a sissy guy look.
I don't have that problem. That's why I wear two shirts.
Yeah. I can't do it. I mind die. So anyway, let's see. We can do this and end this officially. Okay, boys and girls, this has been the Area Fishing Report. With me, Fishing Frank, and him, the blind tarpon, Robert. And say goodbye, Robert.
Goodbye, Robert.
Alright, guys, you will hear us on the next one, next week. And in the meantime, we're going to try and get more fishing stuff for you. So, have fun, enjoy your weekend, go and catch some fish. This is awesome right now. The water, the weather, it's perfect. Really.
Doesn't get much better.
Next week it's going to get a little better, because it's going to be a little cooler. It's going to be awesome on the water. The water temp's going to drop. The air temp's going to drop. If you're sitting up north and it's windy, rainy, kind of drizzly, snow and whatever, call a hotel down here and wheel and deal. Make them come down on the price. You know, cut them off the knees. You know, get some good deals. And we'll see you next Radio Fishing. Bye.